Welcome to another episode of The Good Listening To Show, your life and times with me, Chris Grimes, the storytelling show that features The Clearing, where all good questions come to get asked and all good stories come to be told, and where all my guests have two things in common. They're all creative individuals and all with an interesting story to tell. There are some lovely storytelling metaphors. A clearing, a tree, a juicy storytelling exercise called 5-4-3-2-1, some alchemy, some gold, a cheeky bit of Shakespeare, and a cake. So it's all to play for. So yes, welcome to The Good Listening To Show, your life and times with me, Chris Grimes. Are you sitting comfortably? Then we shall begin. Boom! I allowed a microbeat there. Doubly check the boom. This is a very, very exciting flag in the sand, halcyon day episode of The Good Listening To Show. So I'm Chris Grimes. This is The Good Listening To Show. Kevin Chewis has been recommended to me, and I'm going to describe you as the ultimate polymath, if I may. Ooh, Kevin Chewis. Because if I may say, my, you know, giddy goo johns and heavens to Betty Boothroyds, you've had and are having an extraordinary career. I know that you're currently at the helm of We Are Starbridge, which you can tell us about and get on the open road in a second. Just to get you going on the open road of the storytelling, If people ask you that sort of terrible, clunky networking question, oh, hello, what do you do? What's your favourite way, Kevin, of describing or telling us what you actually do then?
Sure. So it's quite simple for me. I've got it to the elevator pitch in case I ever meet Alan in the kind of elevator. That's Alan Sugar, by the way, not Alan Shearer, not to confuse the two.
It's important if you're locking, if you're in the lift with both of them, then the same pitch works. It's the same elevator.
Same elevator. So I make brands market leaders. That's what I do.
And just a bit of extra happy smoke. I know that Starbridge, it's about creating entertainment legacies for the world to enjoy together. So there's a really nice sort of comma stroke together in there, because it's about collaboration and about sharing wonderment.
Yeah, so it all started as a music producer where we would be tasked with creating, I mean, we're of a certain vintage, Sir Chris, where that my children would know an A and a B side. They would, what's that, a loaf of bread? But no, there was the hit record and there was the one that wasn't the hit record on the other side. And we were tasked with making albums and hit records. But it was around it when we were taught, when we were doing music career, make a record that will be on Heart, Magic, Kiss, Capital in 10 years time. And I tell you, that is a crux when you're producing a demo to go.
It has to stand the test of time.
The whole point around legacies is to create something within 10, 20, 30 years is still listenable rather than a trend. That does put quite a lot of pressure on you as a producer and a writer to go, okay, this has not just got to be excellent, it has to be superior to everything in the charts.
Yes. What I'd love you to tell is your wonderful genesis story of how you had an allergic reaction to a computer when computers first started cranking on with a blinking cursor. There was some sort of CBT careers test where the result that went and sort of spat out said, you're either going to be a music producer, a vet, or an author. You thought, boom, and then your career's... So just tell us that story, because it's an extraordinary allergic reaction. And then what happened with your train trip to Sunningdale? So let's get you on the open road of this, first of all.
Wow, yeah, the best knowledge ever. So at 15, I was pulled into the careers advisor. She sat in one of these original BBC computers. It was the size of Mount Rushmore with a green screen. Disgusting when you look back. Lincoln. It with a green dot. Oh, God. So like Doctor Who, she was typing these things. So I kind of did some kind of a verbal analysis of what I wanted to do. And she said, these things are going to throw up three jobs for you that, you know, should define the rest of your career. And I was like, oh, wow, this is sensational. Thanks so much. So like grumpily, the results come in and she had music producer and she huffed. And I thought, oh that's naughty shit. Vet. And she author. And she just turned to me and she just said to me, as a Bexley member of Kent County Council would have done normally back in there, and said, you're just not good enough for any of them. That was her word. So her next phrase was what compelled me to get to Sunningdale, was, I've got a job for you stacking biscuits in Tesco's. And I'm like, there's nothing wrong in stacking Tesco's biscuits or working to it, but I am a creative. I have an A in photography. I have an A in economics. I know what I'm doing differently, and I'm not going to accept that. And I left the school with a huff to be huffed with. My parents were like, what is wrong with you?
What's that? You describe being really hacked off, a huff to be huffed with.
It was a huff because I was, I'm not going to swear on a podcast, but I was FCBFGHYFLLMNOPQRST.
With a Tesco's chalky biscuit chaser.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I'm like, really? Like, the computer said yes, and then she said no. I'm like, why am I here? You asked me. I didn't ask for the test. So the computer's analysed my words, and she said I'm not good enough. So it was really weird, because that day I'd read in the, I think it was the Daily Mirror, one of the big rags at the time, Five Star, my big pop group, who I absolutely adored, had moved to Sunningdale on the A30.
Listeners, hold that thought. Five Star, he's just mentioned Five Star.
And they bought the Queen Mother's holiday home in Sunningdale, and it was called Stone Court. It was a 2-acre mansion behind beautiful gilded gates. And then I'd read in the newspaper and Smash Hits that Stedman, who was the oldest member of the group, was an ace in photography, and he'd bought all this photography equipment in the loft, stinking house out with chemicals and stuff. And his sister wrote an expose on him with Smash Hits. So I said to Mum and Dad, I'm going to get from Sunningdale. I'm 15 at this point. It's not this year, it's years ago. And they were like, of course you are, darling. I was like, no, I really am. I'm going on Saturday morning. I'm going to go ring the bell and ask them for a job as a photographer. And they were like, okay. So my dad was a transport manager. So he opened up and he said, the A30 is one road. So if you walked all the A30, swap sides and walked all the way back, here's the Daily Mirror. You know what the house looks like. There's a picture of them. Try it. Just try. So, yeah. Like an absolute numpty, I get on a train. I'm absolutely pooing my pants. I'm like, I've never been on a train in my life outside of kind of Kent. Get to like London Bridge, Waterloo, get the train out to Sunningdale. And there's just me and a hopeless dream at that point. Hopeless dream. I am so embarrassed with myself. I'm nervous. I had no confidence at 15. I was a complete recluse. And then I walk up the A30 and I find the house. And at the house was Stedman, actually at the gates doing rosettes, because his mum and dad had their wedding anniversary on the Sunday, and he was hand-doing rosettes on the gilded gates, these beautiful gilded gates, stunning. And I said, hi, Stead. And he goes, oh, hey, how can I help you? And I was the only person there. This house was normally flooded with 300, 400, 500, 600 people. You can get there. But for some reason, I got in early, got out, got up. And then I said, your sister's wrote a thing in Smash Hits about the photography that you're doing and how you're doing developing it. And he said to me, did she? I said, yeah, because she said that you're stinking the house out. And he said to me, effing bitch. I'm like, really? I said, yeah. And he's like, what? So I had Smash Hits with you. So I'm showing you. So we took the thing through the gate. She's like, oh, dear Lord. Oh. He goes, what can I do for you, young man? I said, look, I'd like a job as a photographer. My careers advisor, Betsy, says I'm going to stack biscuits for the rest of my life. And he's like, no. Typical Jamaican. What's your no racist commentation either, just for the sake of the podcast, is they were pure bloods with that. He said, what was your grades in photography? I said, A. He said, you know what? My dad wants an in-house photographer. I'm going to pop back in and get you my number.
Stay there.
Think about it for a moment. Imagine rocking up to Adele's mansion in Beverly Hills, go, could I have your phone number to speak to someone about a career? And she goes, no problem, love. I'll get a post. And he comes up with a scrap of paper, torn, and the number was 26428. That was their phone number. That was their number. So he comes and he goes, if you phone my dad today, get an appointment. They're not doing much tomorrow before the event. So come in the morning, bring your parents because you're 15, and then we can speak because we've got a video shoot on Monday and you could cover that. We want to do family albums and we do so much on television, but no one does any diaries for us. So dad wants to do something internally for the Pearson family. It was like, oh my God, really? Is it? Yeah. So my mum, go back home. I was like, Mum, I've done it. I've got a job. Blah, blah. She's like, of course you have, darlings. Like, sit down, have a whiskey, whatever you're doing.
And just before you go back to your mum back home, what I'm intrigued by is the gates of heaven. You literally arrived at the gates of your future, the portal, the doorway, the destiny of the gate, the rosette.
Yeah.
And what's meant for you won't pass you by. What an extraordinary, extraordinary moment of history.
It changed my life. We were only together 5, 6, 7 minutes because I was so excited I had to leave. So my mum phones and gets through to Buster, who was their father manager, and he goes, you know, come tomorrow. Like, Stead said he spoke to Kev. He was a really nice, really sweet, had a golden smile. What do you mean, that golden smile? He said, you know, I need someone for Monday. Would you come? So we rock up now on the Sunday. Oh my God, Chris, there's 800-900 fans there. I mean, so we pull up in our crappy family car. It was littered with supercars, and there's us in our, you know,
also. And you're about to go, coming through.
So I had to literally fight through all these people, and they were like, oh, who are you? What's you? You're not getting it. So I'm ringing the bell, and they're like, oh, you can't ring the bell. I'm like, ringing the bell, bitch. I was like, I'm getting it's like, Kevin to see Buster, and he's like, yeah, man, come in. Just drive through.
What happens in the ghetto is you get a stampede or...
No, you wouldn't dare. Back in 1989, you wouldn't dare cross the line. Now you would. Like, you'd have influencers jumping over and filming. So the gates open, there's a ring of fire of humans and the car pushes through. And we park up and we go in. And it was one of the nicest meetings I've ever had in my life. He was so lovely. He was a hardcore music manager. He was tough. But Lorraine from the group bought me tea on like a gold tray with like Royal Doulton cups and things. And then in Monday morning, I'm at Shepperton Studios filming their latest record.
And if I may, one thing I really remember from our first conversation, you said when you were on stage, having done the job for them, you came up with a quote about seven people. Do you remember the quote you gave me?
I do, yeah, and I say it a lot. And it's because, unfortunately, we're in this weird political time. Is I've done a lot for the Black community with LinkedIn Black and the Diana Award, and I've mentored a lot of people. And it's not because I want, you know, the badge or the tokenism, but I say to people, without seven Black people, which is Five Star Mum and Dad, because they were all together, this white one person would be nothing.
Yes, gosh, that's lovely. Kevin Chiss, I'm thrilled and delighted to have you here. And now, if I may, yes. I'm going to curate you through. And honestly, this is a privilege to curate you through. I'm so excited to let you experience this from within to see what you think about it. But this is the unique storytelling structure of this show that's been likened to having a day spa for your brain in an oasis of kindness. So thank you for being receptive to me giving you a brainwashing. See what I'm doing there. So there's going to be a clearing, a tree, a lovely, juicy storytelling exercise called 5-4-3-2-1. There's going to be some alchemy, some gold, a couple of random squirrels, a cheeky bit of Shakespeare, a golden baton, and a cake. So it's absolutely all to play for. So here we go. Energetically, it all takes place in a clearing or serious happy place of you. Where does Kevin Chiss go to get clutter-free, inspirational, and able to think?
Okay. It's quite interesting. I have a few moments during the week where I switch off. Unfortunately, the gym is the worst of the catalyst, because when I get to the gym, and I love the gym, I've been a gym freak for 30 years and I love it. I think it's great for your mental health. As you get a bit older, you can't be running out on pavements because it's not so great for all your joints. So I love going to the gym regularly. Unfortunately, I get there and I'll be on the treadmill and halfway through and something taps on my head and goes, why are you here and why are you not working? And I thought about that idea you had yesterday or last week. And honestly, when I declutter the norms and I get into a space of, I would say, well-being, all I get is this kind of parliament in my brain going, why are you here? You have a lot to do. There's no time for this mucking around nonsense, all these weights and things. So often, be honest with you, I leave the gym halfway through because I'm just literally keen to get back. And because my world has been shaping, creating, and challenging the status quo. And it, to me, it's not a job. I love the people I work with. I have a select people now that I've grown up with and I connect with over years and years, people from music industry, film, TV, and I adore what I do. So I love, because you only have one life to live. And as it says on my website, creating entertainment legacies is not done lightly. If you're going to, so when I created Winston the Churchill Bulldog, yes. We'll probably come onto that later. He's 32 years old this year. And to have that foresight to create something that is...
Oh, just hold that thought. I remember our audience is hearing that for the first time. The very famous, oh, no. Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. The Churchill iconic dog was your creation.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I knew that.
I didn't design him as an artwork, but he was my concept. So I won a competition back in 1993. The brief was really simple. Churchill Car Insurance in Bromley, still in Bromley, Kent, had a remit of, we have no first-time female car insurers onto the insurance market with us. How do we convert every female to join us? So they had four creative agencies that were in London at that time. None of them come forward. A young girl that worked in that company was Jackie, actually, and she said to me, Kevin, I know you're really creative. How the hell she knew that? I've got no idea. I'd know MySpace or Google at that point. And she said, look, we've got this brief, told me the brief, she, next weekend, give me an answer. She was really forthright. I was like, you, all right, that was a bit brazen. I was like, okay. So then I come back and I said, next week is all right. I've got a puppy for you. And she said, a puppy? She said, this is car insurance. I went, I know it is. I said, but you're a very British traditional heritage brand. She goes, yeah, we've got to keep that. We can't change our values. So I'm not asking you to. The dog's called Winston. And she went, what? She said, have you lost your mind? I said, no, no. It's Winston. He goes, oh, yes. Oh, no. Like the Prime Minister, Winston Churchill. And she went, as a dog? I went, yeah. He's like, and there was, it, the first one's a nodding dog on the back.
They used to be, before, that's genius, because those nodding dogs were what you'd follow. You, yes. Dog.
So I said, every time a woman passes her driving test, I want to think about a puppy that buys car insurance from the puppy. And she went, Jesus Christ. Okay. And then within a week, I had £1,000 check, a lifetime commendation for the award. Yeah, so that was really my first step into what we now call marketing. I didn't even know what that word was. I knew that now that it was invented in the 1920s with the Freuds or Sigmund Freud. But it was kind of my first real step into kind of money and marketing together as part of the creative process. So excitedly, I started to write chart positions in the charts. So in my school books, I'd handwrite. So I used to listen to Bruno Brooks in the charts every weekend, and I'd write down and I'd put, like, because they used to have on top of the pops these little triangles up and down, or square or a line for new entry. And I'd do that. And then I did that for 2 years straight, between 13 and 15. And I really attribute that as kind of the first working algorithm, what we'd now call it today, in my brain, because I got to work out why a hit record was a hit record, in what genre, with what artist, with what music label, and why it was working. So when I got to eventually work into the music industry, our first record was top 10. And I think it's down to the academic insight into the data that I was handwriting, and it was kind of riffing in my brain. And the link back into the gym is that once we got into the music, it turned into a radio, and I would listen to music and I'd go to bed and the radio would still be in my head. It still happens every night. So I go to bed with a record in my head. I'll wake up with a different record in my head. Like I'm listening to like Smooth FM and Angie Grease, for example. It's literally like a constant radio show, because it's always trying to work out, is that the best way of doing this? These are cool rhythms. Why are they repeating? And I pull it apart. And I'm famous for going to bed with a business problem and waking up with the answer. I have no idea where I've come from. I think I might be quite alien most of the time. So that's why when I get to the gym, my kind of cool place is actually work. Cool place is creativity. It gives me the most happiness. It really does. And I try and tell my children that creating is such a privilege. It's such a joy. Embrace every moment, because we're only here for 100 years, or whatever we're here, and leave a legacy. Leave something that everyone else can enjoy.
I love that. That quintessentially, you're a DJ that's constantly spinning decks in the radio algorithm of your head. So your head is just one big spinning 45.
Unless I've got my radio in my ears. I'm just literally.
And you move fast. So I'm sure some of that's at 78 RPM as well.
Oh, very good.
Which is wonderful. So whenever you can find the treadmill, and even that's moving in the gym, and it's just the arc of creativity is your clearing, if I've interpreted that correctly.
Yeah.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
The cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
And now I'm going to arrive with a treat in your clearing. And because of my acting background, this is a bit deliberately waiting for Godot-esque, a bit Samuel Beckett-y and existential. This is, I'm going to shake your tree to see which storytelling apples fall out. How'd you like these apples? A couple of love things hovering in the air for you there. And this is where you've been kind enough to have thought about, or maybe you haven't yet, four things that have shaped you, three things that inspire you, two things that never fail to grab your attention. And when we get onto that section, I'll talk about squirrels. You know, what are your monsters of distraction? Your squirrels, what never fails to stop you in your tracks. And then the one is a quirky or unusual fact about you we couldn't possibly know about you, Kevin Chewis, until you tell us. It's not a memory test. So we're going to shake the canopy of your tree. So first of all, four things that have shaped you, Kevin.
This is why I've done no prep, and I don't want to, because you're going to get the real answers. It's just how I work. So, I mean, you just have to, I mean, five stars by first. Without a five star, I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't, my success is down to those seven amazing people, and I love them for the rest of my life. They just are genuinely.
And are you still in touch with them regularly, obviously?
I mean, no, Stedman died recently. So he died of diabetes last year, which is a great shame. So I'm not in touch with them. I did manage them later in life, but yeah, because their father.
Oh my God. That's extraordinary as well. That you arrive at the gates, the gateway to your future, and then you end up managing them, not just being there.
Yeah. So Denise and Stedman were later in life, around 2001 to 2009. I actually personally managed Stedman. So it was the ultimate give back because he remembered me and we were introduced to a contact in Europe from a fan club. And he said, there's this guy in London you made a success and he's really successful music producer and you want to do a new album, I just got to connect you. So it was so weird. So I went to his flat in Hammersmith and as soon as I opened the event, I knew it was you, the boy with the golden smile. And I was just like, oh, Stead, stop it. So it was just lovely.
Sorry, the storytelling, the boy with the golden smile. What a great title. It might even be that when we do.
Yeah, he said, you just have that smile that just lights up the room in the face and you just have this warmth that rushes in and everyone goes, cuddle time. I'm like, all right, I'm in with that.
So you credit five star for being the first shapage. What would be shapage number two, please? And I've got a bell for if we're going down any rabbit holes. Shapage
no problem. Two, please. That's all right, got it. So I got introduced in my early career to a band called Eternal and Take That. That were coming through the ranks. And there was a chap in the background called Eddie Gordon, and he had signed Donna Summer and Bobby Brown to his career. I didn't know when I met him what he did. And within quite a few short weeks, he was mentoring me. And again, he ended up running the biggest dance label ever created in the UK, which is what I was a part of with Pete Tong and Judge Jules. And so he was at Five Star, kind of taught me music as in soul, pop, world class, Billboard. Eddie kind of dragged me into kind of Radio One and dance and Kiss 3, and is my second crux to making things famous. And we're still friends today. In fact, I only messaged him yesterday. He is just being a phenomenal human being and just gives love. And one of the reasons why I do what I do nowadays is he always said to me, always give back. No matter what they say about you, give back, because you will mentor someone that will be the president of Apple and he'll phone you and go, come on my yacht for the weekend. You're a star. Thank you.
And talking of yachts, that's what you mentioned. Sure. Your kids want today. They want you back on in the Monaco yacht. They're 6 and 4, but they've got aspirations for your career.
Yes, they'd like dad to have a yacht so they can go jet skiing when they're a bit older.
I wanted to say your ex-uni lad and now proud dad at some point. But anyway.
Very good. Very good.
So that's your second shapage. Shapage number three, please.
I have to say my parents. So we do them both together. And they've been a huge support for me. They were not entirely happy when I came out of my career as an electrician with my city and guilds and resigned to go into the music industry. I was like, you got out of a trade. What are you doing? But they've been significantly empowered to push me through. So there's a lot of human beings that have often had my back, even when I think at times they feel
done. You know what, your dad's had your back all along because he enabled you to get to Sunningdale on the train, I remember.
That's right, yeah. He did point out the A30 is one long line, and it was like, okay, so it's just up, left, right, and back. So that's number three. I mean, it's probably slightly generalistic, but four, I have the most amazing friendship network. My close friends, I've been with most of them for 30 years, and they've grown with me. They've learnt with me. We've cried together. We've laughed together. We've done all things together, and they've kept me solid because, you know, if I'm having a questionable time in life, I will phone them and go, what do you think should happen? And that they're pretty resilient and brutal. Like there's when they need to be punching, they just give it to me.
I'm going to ask if you beef as well, because you've loved, you've laughed, you've cried. You have to beef if they're proper friends, obviously. I know you have a particular cut thrust and passion for men's mental well-being at the moment. And when we first met, I sent you the Ben Akers episode,
which was amazing.
Talk Club, which I've no idea whether you listened to yet, but it was my attempt to reciprocate and give you a connection as well.
he's amazing. And men's mental health, we've tapped 10% of it. We're nowhere near it yet. We hide as men. We hide. That's what we do. It's a great shame.
But you are giving back, which is awesome. Wonderful. And now we're going down the tree trunk, if you're looking at the graphics of this as well. The three is now three things that inspire you. And you're being very inspirational anyway, so don't worry if there's any overlap. But what would you say are the three things at Kevin Church that inspire you?
I love learning. I never stop learning. So I love trends and innovations. So I'm regularly a part of multiple newsletters. I'm on the board of Advertising Week under their presidential council with the lovely Ruth as president. And I like being at the forefront. I call it on the tip of Concord, because whilst everyone's having a great time back in first class and having some champagne, we're all on the front of it going, holy crap. I'm like, this is new territory, but you do. Kind of the pilot's behind going, are you all right up front? Yeah, I know, I'm absolutely freezing cold, not gonna lie, but I think we're going in the right direction. So that keeps me young and alive and vibrant. I love that. So when someone says to me, what do you think the future of the music industry is, I'm like, you can't call it that anymore, because it's much wider than music. That's the first thing.
Yeah, it's entertainment legacies are coming full circle, of course.
Always. Yeah, it's all about the young people. The second thing is young people. So I've mentored probably over 200 young people in the last 20 years. And, you know, not to be cringe about Whitney Houston, but I do believe the children are our future. And now I've got two young ones now. And if we don't start to give back properly, so the things I try and do is I hear a lot of mentees and mentors, and I'm the person that sends one like a marketing business plan framework. Rarely people do it. So right, we spoke about this. Here's what I suggest you do as a framework, and then I'm going to help you fill it in. That's got me to a position of unbelievable precedence. I mean, I'm on my school governors, I'm a co-trustee as well. So I go into, you know, the younger children in schools and help them become more business ready. I think that young people that can be more business minded, because we still don't teach banking in schools, that frustrates me. That's not right. So how do we get a mortgage? And economics is my second favorite subject in school. So around kind of data, business, I love it. Because it is supply and demand, and you can colour it in how you like. But if you don't sell enough records, you're dropped. If you sell a million records, you win Icon of the Year.
Yes. Great answer. Just allowing a deliberate bit of silence there. A third thing that's inspired you?
I'm going to say poor management. I've been surrounded and seen terrible business decisions and terrible decisions around markets, economies. I'm not going to point any fingers anywhere because it's a podcast, but I think that my rule of thumb is, there's a poem by Rudyard Kipling called If, and basically is, if you can keep your head while everyone else is losing theirs, you should be a man standing. It's kind of the crux of the poem. It's amazing. Yes. So I've learned more about how not to manage people and how not to manage companies by being a sponge.
The station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity. while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving, it's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Sarah wasn't bad at her job, she was stuck in hidden grief. After her dog died, she took a sales role just to stay busy, but every pitch felt empty. A Cogna Movement session uncovered that she was seeking the warmth of her dog rather than serving her clients. Using our patented movements and sensory patterns, she cleared the grief and rocketed to the top. What hidden emotion is holding you back? Try our Essentials program at the special UK Health Radio rate. Visit cognamovement.com/radio or click on the Cogna Movement banner on the UK Health Radio homepage. Results vary.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
And now we're on to the one which is a quirky or unusual fact about you, Kevin Chewis. We couldn't possibly know about you until you tell us.
I have, since the age of 15, seen ghosts. And I'm obsessed with the paranormal. So one of the reasons why I became an author later in life is to write books around the paranormal. Not as in like science books, but more like very Lord of the Rings, like quite dark. Stuff, because that works a lot in Hollywood and internationally at the moment. And, you know, the franchises that are doing well in the paranormal, Stranger Things being the biggest hit of the moment, is, unparalleled success. So I have a love of the paranormal. I don't say to people, you have to believe in ghosts, because I think you've got to see stuff to believe things in your own world. And whether it's a mind trick, whether it's real, I don't know. But I've certainly seen an awful lot of unusual activity, and with friends that have validated what's going on, like moving objects and voices and things. So I'm an avid supporter of it, don't understand it. I've had lots of medium readings and things, and they come forward and they tell me stuff that no one would know. No one would know. And it makes me more believe it. So, yeah, one thing that people wouldn't know is that my first ghost was while watching Die Hard at 15. And a woman walked through a wall, stopped it into my bed, looked at me, walked through the other wall. And I thought, it was a very pretty old lady. Like, it was a shimmery kind of white, beautiful apparition. It wasn't frightening. It was not like dun, 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 dun. Don't know that. It was Bruce Willis saying, yippee-ki-yay, and a swear word at that point. And in the morning, I went and told my mum. She's like, oh, for God's sake, darling, what now? And then I told my next door neighbour, and she said, oh, that's my mum, probably. Here's a photo. Pulls out a photo from the drawer, and I'm like, oh, my God. I was like, mum, it's Eileen's mum. She said, oh, she's been haunting here for years. She'd tell her to sod off. Well, it's you. Well, it wasn't my first thought. I'm not going to lie. It was poor like that.
And when was the last time you had another worldly experience, would you say?
It was last year, yeah. Very, very last year. Quite an unusual one, but yeah. It threw something across the room quite violently. Yeah.
Right.
No one was hurt. But I have some tricksters around me, is how I describe it. So I've inherited a couple of pranksters, and they're forever being a pain.
In all my circa 270 episodes, nobody's ever said that as their quirky fact. Kevin Chewis, I congratulate you. We have shaken your tree. Hurrah. Now we stay in the clearing. And we move away from the tree, and now we're going to talk about alchemy and gold. When you're at purpose and in flow, this is like your purpose imperative. What are you absolutely happiest doing in what you're here to reveal to the world?
Being with my kids. Being a dad has been, what a privilege. There are people that can't have children. Obviously, we were in a same-sex marriage, so we had surrogates and an egg donor who was still incredibly favourable to us, and we love them for the rest of our lives. But those two nuggets of gold are just, they make me laugh. They get tetchy with each other. But I just sit back as a dad and thinking how lovely that we've got two human beings that are going to be invested by two great humans that will make them thrive. So that they have to be my number one piece.
Can I congratulate you for that lovely expression? Just beautiful. My two nuggets of gold. How
They are. They have other names, but not for today. Yeah.
Today's name is Nuggets of Gold. Tomorrow's name is Complete Pair of... Anyway, that's all good. So, and just to ask also, if I may, this is an extra question. Because this show also syndicates to UK Health Radio, because of surrogate parenting you've just mentioned there, I'm assuming, because of how you are, that you're going to have a fantastic relationship still to this day with the surrogate mother as well, and they're very involved in your son and daughter's life.
Very much, yeah. Yeah, we regularly... So we were the first same-sex couple to have a mother and sister be part of two children's lives. We were in the Telegraph. We were guarded. We were national news to stuff. And they've stayed in their lives. So they basically, what happened was, is Rachel, who was our egg donor, because we don't ever call them anything other than the egg donor. And then her sister, we couldn't get someone to bake the eggs, which is what they call the oven.
Yeah, yeah.
And then kind of her sister was on the sidelines, Leanne, and she was coming for him, and she just said, I'll do it. So it's kind of the egg donor sister and the oven, the sister, have both been imperative to lives. You know, they go on the playground, they know they're from a same-sex couple, the schools are really good with this, and we want them to know that it's a different journey, but it's not one that's odd and one that should never be bullied. So we've, as you say, we put surrogacy and parenting and mental health right at the forefront of their brain, so they'll never be bullied in a way where they can sit in the playground and be like, I know exactly where I come from, I know who I am, and you can jump off the oak tree over there and play on the swings, goodbye. That's how we're teaching them to be.
I'm very glad I asked you that extra question. That's lovely. And now I'm going to award you with a cake, Kevin Chewis. So first of all, do you like cake?
I love cake. Who doesn't like cake?
Of course, you're an idiot if you don't like cake. So nom, 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 nom. You get to choose cake of choice now. What's your cake, please?
It's red velvet cake.
Do you know what? That doesn't surprise me. I love a red velvet cake. Rather tragically, metaphorically, is now yours. But if I can get to meet you in person, I'll try and furnish you, splatch, with a red velvet cake. Your cherry on the cake is stuff like, what's a favourite inspirational quote, first of all, that's always given you succour and pulled you towards your future?
Oh, goodness me. Yeah, I've already said it. It's the only one I ever remember, weirdly. It was something that it was very close to my grandparents, and my granddad, who was in the war and fought in the war, used to have that poem read to his five children, then obviously us grandchildren. I only learned really after he died, and he's been dead quite a while, but mum said to me at one Christmas, granddad used to have this poem, and I'm going to get it printed for you for Christmas, put it in a frame. And I said, oh, I'm not into poems, mum. I was like, I love books and stuff. But she said, no, trust me. She said, just read the first line in the end. And the first one just basically says, if you can keep your head and the bottom while everyone else is losing yours, you will be a better man. And that is everything about my fabric today and till the day I die. I think that's a really great quote, is stop listening to the noise. There's so much hate. There's so much drama. The best thing you can do is nothing. Just disappear, have your own mental well-being, shut the noise out, and crack on and change the world.
Love that. With the gift of hindsight, what notes, help, or advice would you give a younger version of yourself, Kevin? Just you can decide to go back and what to say to yourself.
Yeah, so I've done two sessions on stage to 300 people around what would I tell my 18-year-old self, and I had to write my own slides. It was cringe. It was cringe. I was a pathetic, reclusive teenager. I mean, Adrian Moe had nothing on me. So my first slide was basically, if I could go back and shake me myself out of the bedroom or wherever I was, I'd be like, you need to be bolder, braver. And there's a real difference in arrogance and confidence, and I've worked in the music industry where I can say the arrogance card is about as hot as you're gonna get. That is not me. But confidence and having the ability to persuade, remind, inform, and educate, and be humble around what you do with your career and your professionalism is everything. Because people remember you. There's that whole saying, isn't there, on the way up, don't sod anyone off that you are gonna... I'll tell you what, I think people fall from grace so hard, and I'm just like, damn, well, don't call me. No one can like you forever. Not everyone likes you, but if you've got one in 100, one in 200 people that don't like you, that's okay.
Yeah.
And there's that weird metaphor, if everyone hates you doing success, I'm like, nah, I'm not sure Elon Musk thinks that at the moment, and I'm not sure. Not sure. So Jim Radcliffe thinks that either this morning, but I mean, apart from that for the moment, money's not everything. So I'd say that, you know, again, coming back to the steer, just be kind if you can, and if you can't, disappear and be an arsehole on your own, because no one's going to love you for being that.
Love that. Keep your own compass pointing true north. I love that. And very resonant with The If by Rudyard Kipling as well. We're ramping up shortly to talk about Shakespeare, more about that in a minute, but this now is the pass the golden baton moment, please. So now you've experienced this from within. They don't like it, Abba, Mr. Mannering. This is an invitation to invite you, Kevin Cheers, if I may. Who else in your network do you know would really love, enjoy, or just like being given a damn good listening to in this way?
Oh, goodness me. I have countless people. I'm going to do a 5-star card. I'm going to say to you, you should next interview the most successful black female broadcaster in the United Kingdom on radio, Angie Greaves.
Boom and wow in equal measure. Thank you very much. And now, inspired by Shakespeare, all the world's a stage and all the bearded women merely players. This is, again, borrowing from my acting background. Borrowed from the 7 ages of man's speech, all the world's a stage and all the men and women merely players. Kevin Cheers, when all is said and done, how would you most like to be remembered?
That I've created entertainment legacies for people to enjoy together.
Bosh. And that is a perfect segue into a lovely, exciting section, which is called Show Us Your QR Code, Please. Those of you watching, you can scan straight away into Starbridge, wearestarbridge.com. But would you please tell us where we can find out all about you, Kevin Cheers, on the old interweb?
Yeah, I mean, the two places. This website is basically, I had a moment where I thought a CV is just so boring. So I turned my CV into a website, thanks to a business partner called John Riley, who's an epic friend and legend, again, 33 years in, superb guy. He is a great web designer. So he brought that to life for me. The other place is simply LinkedIn. I do all my updates on there. You can contact me. It's very vocal around what I do. And yeah, feel free to reach out should you wish to.
And if you notice what you're reading there, CEO, ex-Unilad, and now proud dad, thanks very much, and Downing Street advisor. Do you want to talk about a little bit what do you advise on behind the black doors of power as being a Downing Street advisor, or are you not allowed to tell us?
Yeah, I can tell you some of the stuff. So the most famous thing I've done was Downing Street had a phenomenal opportunity with their 2016 was their first video phone. So a lot of what happens in government, not just Downing Street, is you'll be literally the other side of the wall and you'll pick up the phone. So it was like a handset, but it was video. So the moment you spoke to someone, a video come up, which was secure, so they could leave the building with these handsets. So they had this brand. They had a telecommunications brand. It was all based at number 10. And it was like, we need a brand name. We had a bit like the bulldog. We've had all these agencies over it, people. No one knows. Can we have a name? So within 37 minutes, I did 7 names. And the first one was Antenna. And I didn't realize until I'd done it how good it was. But basically, AN was inward communications. NA was outward communications, and in the middle of communications is the letters TEN. So it was inward and outward communications at number 10. And the word antenna had a telemast because it's communications, it telephone signal back to Crystal Palace in the BBC, for those that can remember that.
Yep.
And I got a gold medal in 2017 for my efforts to industry.
Oh, boom. Also, that antenna, Ali Pali antenna, resonates. I interviewed the editor of the Oldie magazine recently, and the Oldie radio has this antenna going beep, 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 transmitting old styly and old schooly. Kevin Cheers, this has been an honor and a privilege, as this has been your moment in the sunshine in the Good Listening To show. Stories of distinction and genius. Is there anything else you'd like to say?
Thank you to you for being an incredible host. I've never done such a diverse, rapidly led, on the spot thinking podcast ever. It's a world first for me. And I didn't prep for it. I didn't want to prep for it because you'll get rubbish answers. I'm just better on the spot. Thank you. It just leaves everyone to say thank you. Join Chris on his journey. And the more fabulous hosts we can get you on board, the better. You are world class, sir. And I thank you for your time today.
Wow. Thank you so much for that extremely warm and generous feedback. Kevin, thank you so much. I want you to have the very last word. So I've been Chris Grimes. This has been Kevin Cheers. Anything else you'd like to say as we drop the mic?
Oh, no.
No, it's oh yes. Oh yes. Google the Churchill dog and you'll see the extraordinary thing of wonderment, the nodding dog of Churchill that Kevin has created. You've been listening to the Good Listening To show with me, Chris Grimes. If you'd like to be in the show too, or indeed gift an episode to capture the story of someone else with me as your host, then you can find out how, care of the Series Strands, at the goodlisteningtoshow.com website. If you'd like to connect with me on LinkedIn, please do so. And if you'd like to have some coaching with me, care of my Personal Impact Game Changer program, then you can contact me and also about the show at chris@secondcurve.uk. On X and Instagram, it's @thatchrisgrimes. Tune in next week for more stories from the clearing. And don't forget to subscribe and review wherever you get your podcasts.